Genesis chapter 7. We're continuing on the theme of water tonight. We're on the waters to swim in this morning. And we were singing about the waters even in Sunday school as well. All the choruses seem to be about the waters in Sunday school this morning. And we're going to continue that theme tonight. And we're going to look tonight at the subject of the message of the floods. And I trust you'll understand what we will consider tonight will be topical in relation to what has happened in recent days, particularly over in England and Wales. And through these events, as we will say tonight, I do believe the Lord is speaking and the Lord is challenging. But we want to come here tonight to read this account of the greatest ever flood that this earth has ever known. Genesis chapter 7, familiar ground, I appreciate that tonight, but what we want to say, I trust, will be of benefit, of challenge to all of our hearts as we consider the subject tonight and the message of the floods. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." We'll end at verse number 10. And it is our prayer as always that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Can we still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to this message for tonight. Our Father, our God, we thank thee for a sense of the divine presence with us tonight already. We thank the Lord for the hymns that we have sung together. We thank the Lord for the messages and song, Lord, that have touched our hearts and, Lord, encouraged us tonight, we pray. We thank thee for help given to Jamie as he's ministered to us tonight. And we ask, O God, you'll continue to be with him and use him, O God, we pray, in his own life and his ministry. Lord, we pray now that as we come to thy word, Lord, again we need thee. And we've been reminded again tonight of how much we need thee. And eternal God and our Father, we realize that every time we come to thy word, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, come and Lord, use thy word. Speak through thy word, O God, we pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that thy voice will be heard, not the voice of this preacher, but Lord, thy voice will be heard. Lord, to this end, we pray, hide this preacher behind the cross. Lord, we pray you'll take to thyself all the glory tonight. We ask, O God, that you be pleased to speak with that voice from heaven this evening. Eternal God, Father, pray that you would speak and challenge, convert the soul tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to speak to every waiting heart. Hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. It is hard to comprehend the level of devastation that the recent flooding in England and Wales has inflicted upon the lives of so many hundreds and yea thousands of people across that area. For many people, they have endured not just an inch or two of rain, but rather many, many feet of rain as a result of the recent storms that have battered much of the UK mainland. It must be heartbreaking as their homes are destroyed by those awful flood waters, families being uprooted, people being out of their homes for long periods of time, and it's no longer safe for many of them to return. And all of this against the backdrop of the uncertainty that this is not the end, that it could well happen again. Yet none of these things happen by chance. Because I do believe that the Lord who sends the rains and the Lord who sends the floods is the same Lord who speaks through those events. I believe that God tonight does speak through natural disasters. I believe that God does speak through the earthquake. He does speak through the tsunamis and through the floods. The great flood that we've read about in Genesis chapter 7, and we've only read very little about it. But this great flood that covered all the earth, God was speaking through that. He had appointed Noah, as we know, the preacher of righteousness, the builder of the ark. But nonetheless, God was speaking through it and through these floods which had come upon the world at that time. And I believe even through these recent natural disasters that we have seen across the mainland, God is speaking as well tonight. And for the time that is before us this evening, I want us to think of what the message is. What is God trying to say to us? What is the voice of God seeking to proclaim to us as a nation tonight? The message in the floods, what is it? Well, the first message that I want us to consider tonight is the message concerning God's sovereignty. You see, I believe that God would want us to know and show to us as a nation through the floods that He is sovereign, that He is in control, not man. Now, yes, certainly the government of our country can plan and seek to prepare and come up with contingency plans and just seek to do what they can to try to stem the problem. But in reality, all they're doing all the time is just reacting to what is happening. They cannot stop these natural disasters. Despite the latest technology and despite the latest inventions, man has not been able to stop the devastation from happening. The government, the prime minister, can go out and do their surveys and try to come up with all the grand promises and the grand plans of help and money to try to sort out the situation, but they cannot do anything to stop these things happening because God is in control of this world and not man. Mankind has always been of the belief that he can control his own little empire, that he has something to do in order to change his situation. Man tonight likes to think that he is in control. You see, such is the darkened and depraved and blinded mind and heart of man that he believes he is answerable to nobody and to nothing. And you know, tonight, that's the thinking of the ungodly. That's the thinking of the sinner tonight, unsaved in this meeting. That's what you're thinking. You're answerable to nobody. You can control your own destiny. You can do as you please. And you'll have to answer to nobody. But the scriptures tell us something different. And through these natural disasters, through the floods, and through all that's happening across the face of our world tonight, God is seeking to show to this world that He is in control, that there is a God in heaven with whom one day we will all have to do, that at one day, one time, every knee will bow to God. And sinner tonight, that includes you. You will give an account. You will be answerable to God. Because God is sovereign. God is in control and not man. You see, tonight God works out not just some things. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Nothing happens outside the will of God. Nothing happens outside the sovereign will and plan of God. His will cannot, will not be thwarted. His will cannot be altered. In Isaiah 46 in the verse 10, he says, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Here is God reminding us that he's in control. Here is God reminding us that he governs all things, that he rules all things. He sends the rain. He sends the sun. He sent the flood in Noah's day to remind the people that he is God, that they would have to answer to him. The people, as you well know, had forsaken God. The people had forgotten God. The people thought they could live their lives without God. And they didn't have to worry about God. But God intervened and showed them and sent the flood to demonstrate and to show his sovereignty and his power. Let me state it very clearly. Let me state it very categorically tonight that God is in control of this world. Tonight, the floods are sent, I believe, to show to this world, to show to our nation, to remind this people that there is a God, that the events of nature, that the affairs of man are all under his control. These matters are sent to our nation, to our people, to remind us that God is ruling over all things. Let me be clear tonight that according to the word of God, there is no climate emergency. Let me make it clear that there is no climate crisis tonight. There is no crisis in this world. If so, then God is not in control of this world. Because the God who created this world, cares for this world, controls this world, upholds all things by the word of his power. God is in absolute control tonight. Let that truth sink into the hearts and the minds of the child of God, because we can become so easily caught up in all the rubbish that's going on tonight in this world. You can do all the recycling, and we've got new recycling bins at home. What a torture. And this goes in there, and this goes in there, and something else goes in there. Isaac's had a great time over this past few days working out all that goes into those different wee boxes. You'll know my views on recycling. But you know, whether I put a can into one box and a bit of cardboard into another box and then something else into another box, that is not helping this world. I am not saving this world. Because God is in control of this world. God sets the boundaries of the waters. He controls the climate. He controls the weather. God is in control tonight. John MacArthur said that this world is not a fragile ecosystem, billions of years old and held together by some random chance. It is a strong, robust system held together by God. I would love to send that quote to Miss Greta Thornburg. That young lady needs our prayers. She really needs our prayers. She's been caught up in this whole cycle, and she's become, sadly, a toy in the hands of evil and wicked men. This world is not a fragile ecosystem. This world is not held together by random chance. This world is held together by a sovereign God. Peter says that the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. And God is keeping this world, and one day this world will pass away. And one day the elements of this world will melt with a fervent heat. But even in that, God is still in control. He's in sovereign control over this world. And if that means events will happen, well, so be it, because it's according to His control. If the oceans will rise, so be it, it's according to His control. If the temperatures rise or fall, so be it, it's according to His control. God is ordering all things after the eternal counsel of His will, and all that He has ordered will come to pass. The sovereignty of God is of great comfort to the believer. It reminds us that our God is sovereign. But the sovereignty of God is also of a great challenge to the unconverted. Dear unsaved one in this meeting tonight, you ought to realize that God holds your very next breath in His control. He holds your very next breath in His sway. As this you sit in this meeting tonight, you are held by the power of God. You will do nothing without the planning and the purposing of God. God has set our boundaries that we cannot pass. It's only by the mercy of God that you're still here. It's only by the goodness of God that has kept you to this time. But listen, sinner, don't exhaust the mercy of God. Don't depend on that mercy always being available to you. There are those chilling words in Genesis chapter 6 in the previous chapter. God came and God spoke to that generation. A generation that had ridiculed God and turned its back on God, wanted nothing to do with God. And God said to them, "My spirit shall not always strive. My spirit shall not always strive." Because there will come a time when God's spirit will stop striving. God, who according to His sovereign plan and purpose, will stop striving with you. God in mercy has been good to you tonight. He has sent you warning after warning. He has told you time after time that you need to be prepared. Even as He was merciful and gracious for 120 years, Noah preached righteousness, and only 8 were saved. God could have wiped that world out in an instant. But in His mercy, in His long suffering, He sent His servant for those 120 years to preach. But even though God's judgment was stayed for all those years, didn't mean God's judgment didn't come. Because come it did. We read in verse 10 of Genesis 7, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. The judgment of God fell. Maybe tonight you think you've lived all your life without God. You've lived all your life rebelling against God. And you don't need God now because, well, if He's turned His back on me all this time, it'd not make any difference now. Listen, God has been long-suffering. God has been merciful. But one day God's judgment will fall. You've been warned. You've been told, and yet tonight you're rebelling and rejecting the warnings of God. These floods that we have seen over recent days and weeks, the message, first of all, is that they display God's sovereignty, that God is in control. Secondly, I believe that it details for us man's sin. Our nation, without doubt tonight, is a nation that has turned its back against God. Our nation which has sought to undermine the law of God and the word of God, sought to overturn the whole morality of Scripture. And we've seen that even in our own province, and the whole basis and fundamentals of marriage all been undermined by legislation. The life of the little unborn child being threatened by what is termed abortion. And the denial of the rights of the child of God. This is a nation that is increasingly moving away from God. And all such moves are described as sin. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And what was happening in Noah's day was happening in our day. People, nations, generations moving away from the law of God, breaking the law of God openly, blatantly. And that is sin. You look back there in Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 5. And it says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What a sad summary of the state of man. What a testimony of the condition of a people and a nation. Sin abounding on every side. Sin rampant. Man's heart only evil continually. Is that not happening in our land? Is that not happening across our nation tonight? And yet in these floods, I believe God is sending a wake-up call to our land. He's seeking to show to our nation their sin. He's seeking to show to our nation that God will punish sin, that God will not allow His name to be dragged down, that He will not allow His law to go undermined, that He will not give His glory to another, and that God will pour out His judgment upon the sin. You see, the problem today is that sin is seen as something late. Sin is seen as something of no significance. It's so common that it's just acceptable now. Our children are taught it in schools. Our children, our young people are imbibed with it all the time because it's just so common, it's so acceptable. Because sin is seen as a light thing. People can readily and willingly live in sin, curse the name of God, reject God, blaspheme His precious name, trample under their feet His precious word, as if it were some light thing. As if it were some light thing. That's what was happening in the days of Noah. They treated sin as something light, as something insignificant. Listen, sin in the eyes of a holy God is an awful thing. Sin in the eyes of a pure God is an awful thing. How do I know that? I know that because at the cross of Calvary, Christ punished sin in His own Son. You want to see how awful and how heinous God views sin? Look to Calvary. That's the wickedness of sin. That's how much God hates sin, that He sent His Son, who was made sin for us, the cross. God so hated sin that He sent His Son into this world to die on the cross. That through His death, through His blood shedding, sin could be atoned for. Oh, sinner, if only you would realize tonight how terrible your sin is. If only you would realize tonight how awful a thing it is for you to be a sinner. If only you would realize tonight how awful a thing it is for you to be lost. 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 In your sin. How dangerous, how deadly your sin is. You say, I don't involve myself in any of the things of this world. Your rejection of Christ and his gospel is the greatest of all sins. Your turning your back on the only Savior of sinners is an awful thing in the sight of a holy God. Because if that sin is not repented of, that sin by nature is not turned away from, then that sin will damn your soul in a lost eternity in hell for all eternity. You see, these floods, I believe, are pointing to a greater destruction and a greater devastation. That day when all the people of this world will stand to give an account of their lives, and God will judge the sin of the sinner. And for those who have refused to turn to Christ, for those who have refused the offer of Christ in the gospel, they will be swept away in the torrent of God's wrath to a lost eternity. You'll hear those awful words from the mouth of the Savior, the judge of all the earth, depart from me, I never knew you. And God's judgment will fall as God's judgment fell in the form of the flood in Genesis 7. So God's judgment will fall upon you personally, individually, and you will be judged for your own sin in hell. Oh, that tonight you would see the awfulness of your sin. Oh, that tonight you'd see the wickedness of your sin. That tonight you would see the wrath of God abiding upon your head. That tonight you are condemned already. That you would acknowledge your sin tonight. That you would abandon your sin. Because if you do not, your sin will take you to hell. There, for all eternity, you will be judged for all eternity for that sin. The message of these floods, they display God's sovereignty. They detail for us man's sin. But finally, as we close tonight, I want us to see that these floods, there's another message. And that is that they direct us to Christ's salvation. God is displeased with sin. God hates sin. God hated sin in Noah's day. God hates sin in our day. But God provided a means of escape from that judgment that was to fall, and that wrath which was to come in the forms of the flood, and all of those would be swept away. God provided a means of escape. It was, of course, in the ark. In Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 7, the Lord says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But as you come into verse 14 of Genesis 6, you see the grace of God. You see the mercy of God. Jamie was singing tonight, my sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Verse 5, Genesis 6. The many sins of the people. Verse 14, of Genesis 6. The great mercy of God. Where he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Here was the means of escape. God didn't have to send Noah. God didn't have to tell Noah to build an ark. You could just have swept this world out of existence. Sinner, tonight, you or I don't deserve Christ. You or I don't deserve to hear the gospel. The only thing you and I deserve today is to be damned the day we were born. But God provided a mercy and provided a way of escape. The flood in Noah's day, that way of escape was the ark. And what a picture, and I know we've looked at this in occasions past, but what a picture of Christ that ark is. The ark was the only hope. There was no other way of escape but through the ark. Man could try his best, do as he could, try as he might. But the only way he could avoid the flood and avoid the destruction and the death that would come was to be in the ark. Tonight in this world where sin is abounding, and one day when this world is finished and judgment for sin will fall, the only way of escape is found in Christ. Christ is your only hope. Christ tonight is the only way that your sin can be atoned for, cleansed, and the wrath of God can be removed. It's only through Christ. His finished work. The ark was pitched within and without. It was a covering, a complete covering. And it points to Christ's atoning work there on the cross of Calvary as a complete covering for our sin. And as the floods and the rains of judgment fell upon the ark, it didn't touch those in the ark. And thank God tonight that at Calvary's cross, the wrath of God fell on Christ. And if you're in Christ tonight, that wrath will never fall on you. But you're out of Christ, like those in Noah's day. When the floods come, you have no protection and you have no safety, and you will bear the whole wrath of God yourself, and you'll be swept away. No covering. The ark as well had only one way in, only one door in the ark. And to avoid the wrath of God, there's only one way to God, and that is through Christ. That is through Christ. That is why, as a church, we must ever preach Christ, Christ crucified. It doesn't matter what other message this world might want to hear. It doesn't matter what other message others may want to preach or declare to this world. The only hope for this world is found alone in Christ. That's why we preach Christ. That's why we uplift Christ. Because without Christ, there is no hope. The invitation then was extended. Come, verse 1 of chapter 7, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. What was Noah and his family doing? They walked up that gangway into the ark. What were they doing? They were saying, I trust God. I place my whole confidence in God. This ark will see me safe. I'll not be destroyed. I'll not die. I'll not suffer. I'll not endure the wrath of God. I'm safe here. My whole eternity is staked on this ark. And sinner, tonight, that's what you need to do. You need to rest your all in Christ. Step into Christ, step out by faith and trust Him. Come to Christ. There were rooms in this ark as well. We don't have time to look at it, but it speaks of rest, it speaks of comfort. And in Christ tonight, there is a rest for the weary sin-sick soul. There's a place of satisfaction. Oh, thank God tonight, there's a place for you in Christ. There's protection for you through Christ. Tonight, there's room at the cross for you if you'll become. God is speaking to our nation, to our land. But God is speaking to your heart tonight, reminding you that He is in control. He holds your very next breath in His hand. He reveals to you tonight your sin, the terrible nature of your sin. But in His mercy, He reminds you in the midst of all that sin, there's a way that judgment can be averted. It's through Christ. His finished work on the cross. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you heed and hear the message of that are in the floods tonight? Christ is speaking. Christ is warning. Christ is convicting tonight by His Holy Spirit. Will you therefore flee to Him tonight? There's refuge only in Him. Will you come to Christ tonight before it is too late? Before it is forever too late? Ere God come, take breath from your body and sweep you away in the torrent of His wrath to a lost eternity. Your sins may be many. God's mercy is more. Will you come to Him tonight? Let's bow in prayer. As we close in prayer this evening, I trust that God has been speaking to your heart. I trust God has been challenging you by His Holy Spirit. And that if tonight finds you here without Christ, still under His wrath, still under the condemnation for your sin, oh, that tonight you'd get to Him. Oh, that tonight you'd get to Christ. Don't put it off. Don't leave it any longer. Come. Come now. Don't know what a day will bring forth. Don't know what a day will bring forth. Jacqueline Graham sat in this church in perfect health. In a few days, we'll lay her body to the ground. What if it were you? Where would you be? Eternal God and our Father, we pray, O God, tonight for that deciding grace. We ask, O God, tonight that sinners will flee from the wrath of God. They'll flee to Christ. Get into the ark of salvation. Come to Him. O God, do Thine own work tonight, we pray. Use Thine own word. Challenge hearts. Convict souls. Convert the lost. In the Savior's name we pray.